to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline we go, and we welcome the host of Tee It Up, our friend El Hamo, Kevin Hame. How you doing, Kev?
I'm great. Tiger's on the course.
Yes.
Life is good.
Yeah, but no cart, right? We can't have him in a cart. Come on.
What about one of those mono rider little ones you see at the mall? We could weld a bag stand on the back of it.
Exactly.
Away he goes.
Yeah. So I think for a lot of people, not layman golfers, weekend golfers, but just people who don't really play the game at all, who think, come on, how challenging can walking 18 holes of golf really be, especially when you don't have to carry your bag? So why is it such a big deal for Tiger Woods?
Well, fair enough, but he almost lost his leg a year ago, and you know, they said he might lose his leg. They almost cut it off, and they never said you wouldn't walk again, but he's got metal rods and screws and everything in there, and it's only been a year. So anyone who's had a hip surgery or a knee surgery or something like that know there's a challenge. And especially, you know, the ultimate test was Augusta because of all the uneven things. We don't think about that when we're healthy, but you know, if you ever go hiking in the mountains or the hills or whatever, that you get shin splints, you know, a little bit, or some aching in your calves, and it's just using different muscles and all the muscles, right? And his are still kind of recovering, I guess. And I don't know if they'll ever be normal, but here we are at another golf course. It's in the name, right? It's called Southern Hills, so it's another pretty hilly walk for him.
Kev, is it a good sign, though, that he did play the Masters and that he has returned for this tournament?
Oh, my God, it's awesome. I mean, it's good on so many levels for golf, Sean, and I thought he did pretty well. I was feeling great through Tuesday night. He actually wasn't walking with much of a limp, and yesterday he looked like it was pretty taxing on him. So after three straight days in a row, you know, now he's got to go through Thursday through Sunday. But, yeah, amazing. Made the cut, finished 42nd. I mean, the guy's done close to zero practicing, and he finished 42nd in the first major of the year. So I expect him to make the cut again.
So what a threesome that he's in with. Jordan Spieth, incredibly popular player and playing in Oklahoma. And, of course, he's from Texas, so he'll have a huge fan base there. And Rory McIlroy is arguably, in terms of the international stars, right at the top of the list. For the other two guys, they're popular in their own rights, Kev, but Tiger takes it to a different level, just in terms of the amount of people following them around. Will it be a challenge for them, or would they be used to just the craziness that is playing golf in Tiger Woods' group?
No, they'll love it. I think those two will love it. You know, they're the only two, I would say, the only other needle movers with non-golfers. Like, if you mention Rory, people will look over at the TV, or Jordan Spieth. He's got so many weird things happen to him on the golf course. He's pulled some miraculous shots off. So he's got a lot of charisma, too, and they'll just eat this up. This is what they live for. I mean, can you imagine a 10-year-old Jordan Spieth or a Rory thinking about, you know, having all the crowds on the golf course following them, playing with Tiger? I mean, this is as good as it gets. I don't think they're upset about this at all. It'll get him in the zone, too, right? Both guys, especially Rory. Rory's stroke average in the first round of a major is abhorrent. It's really bad, and for the next 3 days he always plays well. So if he can really focus today and get in his zone early, and it's a big deal to him and play well today, I think Rory's going to be, you know, one of the favorites for sure.
How do you look at that, Kev? Because I look at a guy, it's almost like I play terribly, all the pressure's off, and then I take a late charge, but you never win, or at least that feels like from the outside person like myself and watching Rory.
It's certainly been the case, a backdoor thing, right? It's a backdoor top 10 or a backdoor whatever, like that thing he did at the Masters, no disrespect to him, shooting, what, 64 and holding out an 18. It was all quite cool to watch, but he had no chance of winning. So, you need to get right in there, right off the bat. Ironically, Tiger's never been a great star. Oh, there goes Tiger. Did you see that, guys?
Yep.
He knocked it to 2 feet. Hello.
First hole.
First hole. Well, back to Rory for a second. Tiger's never been a great starter either. I mean, he shot 40 the first nine back when he won his epic 1997 Masters by 12, you know. So he's a little bit of a slow starter, too. The really cool thing about Tiger at this golf course, because there's so many undulations in it and so many dog legs, he won in 2007 hitting 6-iron off the tee on some holes and doing all kinds of creative things to keep his ball in play and go to certain spots on the dog leg, right, so you have the best shot into the green. And if he can do that, he's put the 2-iron back in his bag this week. He's taken the 5-wood out, and he hits that stinger shot, right, which I saw on Twitter last night. Someone said when he hits the ball from 5 feet away, they were following him, hitting some 2-irons off the tee. It sounds like someone drops a bowling ball from shoulder height into a bathtub. I mean, that's how loud and intense it is. So I think that is really going to help him. The other thing that's happened at this golf course is Gil Hance has gone in, one of the great golf course architects today, and he's kind of brought it back to what it was supposed to be, and the runoffs off the greens are really big. So if you don't hit the golf ball in the right spot, the ball will run off, and it's a very difficult course for chipping and putting. And, of course, who's one of the all-time greats around the green is Tiger. So that'll help him, too. So if he can withstand the pain and of walking and if his leg holds up a little bit, I think he's got at least a top 10 chance. I'm not sure he can win the bloody thing, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Talking golf with Kevin Hayme, PGA Championship is underway. So I saw the description when they came on the air this morning, Kevin, of the Southern Hills Golf Course. So the fairways this year, they've got them playing on average about 40 yards wide, which is quite wide. There are 71 greenside bunkers. So if you do 18 holes, that's about four greenside bunkers per hole on average. And there is water in play on 15 of the 18 holes. Some people I've read this week have suggested it's kind of like Augusta, just from what you know of the course and how you think it'll play. Is that an accurate description of how it will play for the next 4 days?
No, I think the greens have more runoffs, like a Pinehurst. Actually, you know, Dutch Seve, I was talking about you on Saturday on the show when we went to Oak Hill. It's more a golf course like that. You know, it's tree-lined, lots of dog legs, little creeks meandering through it. So you've got to really position your golf ball, John. So I like the comparison to Oak Hill more than I do to Augusta National. And we all know you surgically dismembered that golf course. So it's fantastic.
Hey, it was six over through 12 holes.
You were getting up and down from everywhere. That's where the nickname Dutch Seve came from.
Yeah, and then broke the trophy.
Then it went. Yes. Remember, Kevin, when we held up the Wanamaker trophy to take the picture, and I didn't realize the top came off, and it came off in my hand, and I thought I'd broken the trophy.
Do I remember? It was one of the great moments of my life.
Anyway, all good. Okay, so I've heard some people suggest that John Rahm, who will tee it up this afternoon, and speaking of favorites of a lot of golf fans, in terms of his form and in terms of the way this course plays, that he is not necessarily going to be a favorite this week. What are your feelings on John Rahm?
Well, I was watching Golf Channel last night. So let me finish up on the Masters Southern Hills thing just for a second, because in a way it's like Augusta in that you have to hit a certain part of the green. If the green is 6,000 feet around, like picture a Calphalon frying pan upside down, you know, you have to shrink 30% off of it because you've got to land the ball in the middle of the green or it's going to roll off into one of those 70-some bunkers, JR, or into a low gathering area. And the other thing is the rough around the greens is Bermuda grass, which is really sticky. It's like trying to chip out of SOS pads. You know, it's sticky and hard. Anyone who's played in Florida in the winter knows what that's all about. The ball doesn't, your club doesn't just slide through it. But John Rahm right now, so in shots gained around the green, which is the newest, hottest stat, right, comparing through ShotLink satellite data, every guy on tour from similar locations getting up and down and making putts, John Rahm this year is 154th. So he's not even close to contending in putting and chipping. So that's why people are saying that he doesn't have a great chance. But if you can hit 60 greens, you know, if you can have a really great ball striking week and hit a lot of greens, then I don't think he has to worry as much about it. He's got a shot because he's an elite, elite ball striker. My favorite ball striker on tour right now. He really hits a low penetrating shot. But if he starts missing greens, it's game over.
Thoughts on Phil not being there this week, and where do we go from here with Phil?
Who's to say? If he doubles down and plays in this first LIV event, this first Saudi event in London in June, in early June, I think it could be sayonara Phil for quite a while. Mind you, look what Tiger went through between all the women and everything and what he did to his personal life and the painkillers, and people love him now. I mean, they say in the U.S., you know, we love to – it's a comeback story, but they also love to tear you down. I mean, Phil said something he shouldn't have said. I even think he acted in a despicable manner, really doing whatever he could greedily to get some cash, right? So it was all about money, really. But they tore him down pretty quickly. I mean, one quote went viral, and that was the end of him. So it depends on what he does next. Richard Bland just said he's playing in the first event. Whether they ban him from future Ryder Cups in Europe or not, he's going to play in it. Lee Westwood has said he's going to play with the Saudi on the Saudi Invitational League, they're calling it, instead of a tour.
Sergio?
We'll see. Sergio's another one. Yeah. He's threatened to do it as well. So it'll be very interesting. You know, what happens to Westwood and Sergio, Ryder Cup lore, if Sergio's never the captain, right? And they kind of ostracize him because he chooses to do this. So we're at a really interesting place in the politics and the world order of golf right now. And I don't know where it's going to lead, but it's Phil's next move. If Phil comes back and acts with contrition, he'll be even more popular. I mean, if he apologizes and said, I've spent the last 6 months reevaluating my life, and I love the PGA Tour, and I just hope the guys will take me back, then he'll be super popular again. So I think it's in his hands.
I think anybody, Kev, that's seen the career, or especially Phil Mickelson, the career earnings of these guys, both on the course and in endorsements, a lot of these guys have made incredible amounts of money. And they any athlete, hockey player, golfer, whatever, I'm always for, if you want to make the most money, go for it. I never want to say you should sign for less than you should, but I kind of look at these guys in particular and go, just why? I mean, how much more money can you make on this thing, honestly, than what you're making already, let alone the profile you're gonna lose, presumably?
Yeah, it makes no sense. But Phil Mickelson's won $880 million in his career, is a number I read. But there's another book coming out. Remember, he was stuck in that insider trading with that professional mm-hmm. gambler guy who went to jail, and that guy's writing a book. So Shipnuck, who wrote this current biography, unauthorized biography of Mickelson, said that between 2010 and 2014, he's lost $40 million gambling. What's this another guy going to say? Because he's got a vendetta. Mickelson actually kind of testified against him and gave either the FBI or whoever was investigating everything they needed on the guy, and the guy went to jail. And now that guy's got a book coming out. So what are we going to see next about Mickelson? And maybe that's why he's staying away, is because he knows there's more body punches to come, right? But yeah, you're right, JR. All he had to do, he could have retired after the Kiawah Island and given everybody a thumbs up in every shopping mall he went to, and he would have been as popular as Arnold Palmer, and you know they would have put him in the tower, paid him $20 million a year to be a commentator,
yep.
And he wouldn't have lost KPMG, and he wouldn't have lost, you know...
Callaway?
Callaway, and he had Stella Beer. He had so much stuff going on. And he would have made himself $30, $40 million a year for the rest of his life. So deciding to take the money from the Saudis. Now, there's another interesting thing. Have they paid him already? What kind of a box is he in? Like, he was instrumental helping them put together the format and everything. So maybe when they met with him 2 years ago, he said, well, give me $150 million up front, and I'll do this for you. They may have paid him already, so... You know, you don't know what's really going on behind the scenes, but I think there's a lot to this story. It's very intriguing for sure.
And to that, Kev, is there not also part of you thinks, hey, it's a new challenge? And then are we also a little naive on how much more marketing there can be in the rest of the world and a lot of cash? That doesn't mean you have to be on the PGA Tour, which is kind of Americanized.
You know it. But mind you, the thing about it, it's like the Stanley Cup. I mean, you can make money in Russia, Sean, but the Stanley Cup is it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe in the rest of the world it isn't, but in golf it's all about the four majors and the Players' Championship. And, you know, I think they've got strong partnerships with the PGA Tour and ownership in the case of the Players. And I'm not sure that Phil's ego wants to win a bunch of money over in Thailand where, you know, he's relatively popular, but he's not the man, right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one as well. I know one thing. Tiger really... put his position in a camp against Phil this week, because someone asked him, have you called Phil? He said, why would I call Phil? And they said, well, he's probably straight. He says, look, there's a disagreement about the PGA Tour. I'm pro PGA Tour. He's against. There's really no reason to have sympathy for Phil, mm-hmm. you know, so there's no reason to call him. So Tiger was pretty blunt about the fact that, you know, he's not feeling bad for Phil right now.
Real quick thought, Kev. Three Canadians in the field at the PGA. Corey Connors, Adam Hadwin, Mackenzie Hughes. In terms of the form they're in right now and the way they play, with this golf course, which of the three do you think has the best chance to contend, if you think any of them do?
Well, right now I don't think any of them are in strong enough form to contend. I was more excited at the Masters with Mackenzie and Corey, but, you know, they all have a game. Like Hadwin is very consistent, although, I wouldn't say his last year and a half has been very good. Mackenzie is a great putter, and Corey Connors is the guy I probably like the most because he can hit the middle of the greens. You know, Southern Hills is all about gritty around the greens, getting up and down, but it's mostly about hitting the greens and aiming to the middle of the green and putting to the corners.
Right.
And Tiger's the best ever at that, but Corey Connors is a hell of an iron player. So you got to put him in as a dark horse.
Right. There we go. All right. Well, you'll have much more. A special 7:30 start for Tee It Up on Saturday. You ready for that?
That's not that special for me, but I'll be there. I'll be there with bells on.
All right, good stuff. 7:30 a.m. Saturday morning for Tee It Up with a full update. We'll be through the cut line of the opening couple of days of the PGA Championship. Appreciate the time as always, Kev. Thanks.
Thanks, boys.